Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Sketchers assemble!
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, you heard it. The sports reporters, they've assembled after a week off where just I did what I could, folks. I did everything I could. I tried to do whatever I could to bring my fellow sports reporters together last week, but they just didn't want it. They didn't want it enough. They didn't want to come together. They didn't want to congregate over the week's biggest sports stories. So I tried a solo pod and it just wasn't the same. I pretended that Andrew was there. I pretended that Bob was there and it did not go well. It was just weird. But they're back this week. Bob Silverman of the Daily Beast up there in New York City. Bob, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm good. I'm a little sad, feeling a little sad about last week, not having the heart of a champion, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, you are a Jets fan and a Mets fan and a Knicks fan. So Yeah. I'm coming out firing today. It's really because Bob, Mr. Grumpy Gills over here, this morning, like, just the all caps, just the, we got to get him.
Will you spill in the group chats now? You're leaking the contents of the group chats? What are you, a friend of Heidi Krueger?
I was about to say, I knew that was coming. What a bad friend.
Rude.
Like, that is some really bad.
Is it a bad question?
Oh, yeah,
100%. No, it's not a bad friend. I'm sorry.
Bad friend. Don't like it.
The group chats should be sacred, yes. But, I'm sorry. If you are in a position of power and authority, like, say, a member of the U.S. Senate, and you decide to bail in the midst of a moment where millions of your constituents have no power, and you throw your own children under the bus, in order to blame them for failing to Cancun, and then you lie about how long you plan to stay in Cancun, and then you show up in the airport looking like a busted ass Hank Hill. Yeah, I think you could, in that circumstance, we could find a leak.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah. Propane. they could have used some propane and propane accessories down in Texas right about now.
So that whole thing with Ted Cruz and like how he comes back with a state of Texas.
Oh, that's also Andrew Hammond up there in the Northwest.
Oh,
by the way,
I'm ready to come out flying out the gate. Sorry, man, what a week for that guy! And it really all started last Saturday, and then you have all these storms. And then you have him basically going, you know, I think I'm going to get out of here. First off, escaping a massive storm when people are suffering. And I mean, I've got friends down in Texas, friends and family down in Texas, and they were doing okay. But it was just like, I'm doing okay, but I'm worried about other people, and that was really the overarching theme. So I'm still thinking about those people, but at the same time, you're just like, wait a minute, you could have the power to, you know, get any type of resources. I mean, you basically just, you have all the resources at your disposal if you're Mr. Cruz, and you don't utilize them, you just run away. I don't know how that is electable behavior. And I'm not trying to get too political, but, you know, I think about my friends and family down there, and it's just like, wait a minute. So you just decided to run?
Because it was unpleasant. Yeah.
Yeah.
But see, my broader thing is just that, like, none of that would surprise me on either side of the aisle. Like, I don't think any of this would would really surprise me at all. With any elected official.
My favorite part of this story, aside from the leaking of the group chats, which was just was the fact that in the midst of this yet another environmental disaster that could have probably been prevented with competent governance, you know who made out like a bandit because of the power outages? You know who actually profited?
Jerry
wildly?
Jones.
Jerry Jones, mother scratchers. Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones. Whoops. Is the owner of a natural gas provider and producer in Texas. And so because of like the disaster, and there's like so many people like getting their rates skyrocketing, the natural gas producer he owns is like selling their products at a premium rate in both Texas and Louisiana.
How and, ironic. Like,
and like there's a quote I read in a Bloomberg story, which is the CFO of his company was like, frankly, we were able to sell at super premium prices for a material amount of production, which is like just an incredible turn of phrase, possibly even more tone deaf than what good old Cancun Ted did. I mean, there was another horrible story.
That's my favorite thing, which, you know, where capitalism, like the worst of capitalism showed up once again this week. And it's just like, and seeing these companies come together and put these, you know, word salads out there, you know, masked as statements. I'm just like, just tell everybody how much money you made this week off of this stuff and leave us alone.
It's terrifying for me. What's so terrifying for me is that this was a wonderful little cold open, so to speak, for the coming climate disasters that are going to arrive with even greater speed and ferocity in the near future. And I'm terrified of the fact, like, why were so many Texans literally freezing their butts off this week? Because Texas decided it needed to have its own, like, regulated oil and gas production free from the federal market so that they could be all Texas-y and say they don't have to, the federal government is going to push them around. That was a giant problem. They were even, like, that too might have been, like, even if they hadn't done that, somebody told them 10 years ago, you better honking winterize this, or else you're going to face a real crisis. And they just didn't do it. And immediately watching this turn into a culture war football, not to give a shout out to old Jer, but it was just so depressing. I was like, no. There was time when a perfectly cromulent, how would I describe him? Conservative government functionary should have been able to solve this problem without it being ideological. But no. Immediately
they politicized, Bob.
You immediately have people falsely saying that the problem is the Green New Deal, which doesn't even actually exist except as a fucking policy proposal on a website. I was like, no, that's not, no. Like, we can't, like, it's fucking Florida. Miami is going to slide into the ocean, and you're going to have a huge segment of the population claiming either it didn't happen or it was Antifa's fault.
Well, Antifa basically slid South Beach into the ocean like Juan Pierre in the 2003 World Series. So blame Antifa.
We're remembering some guys now. I see. I liked Juan Pierre. We haven't had a good like slap hitting 60 stolen base guy in Major League Baseball for a while. Billy Hamilton was really our last hope for that. That kind of guy is just gone.
Yeah. It's all about launch angle and velocity and all this other crap. I'm just like, just go out there and play the freaking game.
There are no more Otis Nixons, man. No more like Otis Nixon. Where have you
friends
gone, Otis?
On Facebook, by the way. Otis Nixon friend requested me. I have a very I remember Otis Nixon for a long time. Otis Nixon, Marquise Grissom, Kenny Lofton, Brian Jordan, David Justice. What an outfield during the 90s. Ron Gantt.
Those guys all hit dingers. Otis Nixon.
Hold on. Kenny Lofton did not hit dingers, sir.
He got up to, like, I think, I'm not going to pull up his baseball reference page, but I'm fairly sure he got up to like 15 home runs a year.
No. Kenny Lofton?
One year.
I'm Googling. Also, he is 53. Man. No way. Kenny Lofton, 53. He only hit 130 over his entire career.
There. I have his peak numbers, 15 homers and 73 RBIs with the Indians in the year 2000.
How many years was that?
He had double-digit homers for 7 seasons.
Well, look, his one season in Atlanta, he had exactly 5. Bob.
I'm just saying, when the power explosion, the power explosion of the mid to late 90s happened, Kenny Lofton, in addition to stealing bases, it smashed some dongs. I'm saying the Juan Pierre type who hits one home run. That kind of guy, if he's lucky, but is still considered a good leadoff hitter. Otis Nixon was the centerpiece of a number of very bad rotisserie teams that I had circa like 1991, 92 for those Braves teams.
Which naturally brings us, folks, to the Nets winning 5 straight games, beating the Lakers last night. Kyrie Irving hilariously asking if this is the Lakers' best free throw shooter after LeBron misses a technical foul free throw shot. Kevin Durant, also of note, did not play in this game. Andre Robertson, now Brooklyn Net. The Bucks simultaneously have lost 5 straight. Andrew, are you more impressed by the Nets of late, or are you more worried about the Bucks of late?
How do I put this? Neither. And the reason I say neither is it's February.
That's true.
Yeah. The thing about the NBA, especially in the East, is whatever you see in February and parts of March, don't take seriously. Because I remember the Atlanta Hawks, I want to say it was 2015, they went on like this 18-19 game winning streak.
The whole starting lineup made the All-Star team.
Yeah. And so it's just like, oh man, you know, like everybody's kind of like, oh, is this going to be a year where the Hawks rise as a power in the East? And yeah, they like went out in the conference finals or conference semifinals, something like that. Anyway,
they made it to the finals that year, I think.
Yeah, Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah.
Yeah, they struggled, and then Larb and Jam just smoothed. Yeah. But they did make the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, yeah, and so I say that saying that right now, the Nets are playing like the team everybody assumed they would be, you know, at the beginning of the season, because NBA Twitter and quote unquote basketball Twitter, whatever, thinks that, oh, if there's not an instant 5-game winning streak to start the season, oh my God, everything's terrible. Everybody hates each other. I think that both teams will be fine. The Nets are doing what I think we all assumed would happen. I don't see the issue with the Bucks right now, to be quite honest, because teams go on losing streaks all the time. And in the East, where we've realized that there's not one favorite, there's basically like this five-headed monster that's just screaming and yelling at each other every 5 minutes and doesn't know what to do. Maybe the Bucks will be fine. I mean, Miami's having their issues. Either, you know, either one of these streaks, yeah, I'm not surprised or shocked, but, you know, call me in May when the playoffs get to the conference semifinals and maybe even conference finals, and we'll see what these teams look like matching up and all that.
Interesting. I have been saying for weeks, and it's interesting to get different smart NBA people's perspective on this, where they want to talk themselves into the Bucks, they want to talk themselves into the Sixers. The Sixers is the team this year that they're all talking themselves into. And I do think the Sixers have an interesting dynamic with the Nets, where they'll have Ben Simmons to throw on whoever's the hottest for Brooklyn in that series. They'll have Joel Embiid, and Joel Embiid will try and force his way to be like, hey, you have Jeff Green at the five right now. This is not going to work. And like, maybe Brooklyn finds a buyout option from like the Andre Drummonds or the PJ Tuckers of the world. Maybe we'll see. But I just think it's going to be impossible to beat this team four times out of seven in the seven game series. Like, the, if Kyrie Irving, if Joe Harris, if Kevin Durant and James Harden are all playing in that seven game series, and they're all 90% or better health wise, maybe even 80%, there is no path to beating them. There's no path to outscoring them. There just isn't. And the Lakers and the Clippers will give them the best opportunity because of where they are on both sides of the ball. But I don't know. That's just me. I think people are overthinking it, and it's not as fun. And I don't think people want it to happen. I really have noticed that there's going to be a disconnect, and they don't want to see Kyrie with his walking stick go strut through the NBA Finals, and James Harden, who forced his way out of Houston the way he did, to waltz his way through the East. But I really do believe the Nets are going to waltz through the East. They play up to their competition. They did it against LeBron, and AD did not play, so that's a big part of this too. But like, Kevin Durant didn't play, and we saw what this offense looks like, and their defense is starting to figure out a little bit. Joe Harris is going to get a bunch of open looks. Landry Shamet was doing some stuff. Timothy Luau-Cabarré, I hope I pronounced that right. He's TLC. I just like where they're at, and I think the Nets are just going to run roughshod through the East. What do you think, Bob?
Bucks frauds. Nets, yes, also frauds. Sixers frauds. Everyone in the East is a fraud.
Thank you.
Not everyone. You think Brooklyn's still a fraud?
Brooklyn fraud. Frauds. Mm. You know who doesn't play defense? People who aren't frauds.
Okay.
People who are frauds don't play. Yes, that's it. People who are frauds don't play defense. There go the Nets are frauds.
All I think about is the 2011 2011 Miami Heat. When I saw, well, you know, when you get Kyrie, when you get Kevin Durant, when you get James Harden, that's all I could think about. And the reason why is you think about how we all expected them to just waltz through. They were going to basically buy themselves a championship. And yeah, we can't put the cart before the horse, because we've got a long way to go. Injuries can be a factor, and I'm not saying that it's going to happen, but
nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G, because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters, the more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.
I need to see them finish the job. Especially in the NBA, where literally there's 16 teams on a good night that can beat anybody. And maybe even, you know, less than that, maybe 12. But you're going to end up being in a series with a team. I mean, you could see potentially a team like the Heat or a team like the Bucks or a team like the Sixers in the conference finals. Those teams are good enough to, and we may not see it right now, but if you get in a dogfight with one of those teams, what you thought would maybe go five or six is definitely going seven, and now you're looking at each other like, oh shit. Like, every team has gone through this. I wonder what is going to happen with Brooklyn, you know, on May 19th. Because we all know that they're good. We all know that this team should reach a conference finals, maybe should even reach an NBA finals. But we've got a long way to go, and I'm not ready to crown not one damn team in this league yet.
Fair. That's fair. The Carson Wentz trade, it happened. It finally happened. Everyone but Deshaun Watson is getting traded this offseason. Bob, when you saw Carson getting moved for what will ultimately be a first-round pick and a third-round pick, because if Carson plays 75% of the snaps this season or more for Indianapolis, then he the pick that's a second-rounder right now turns into a first-rounder for Philadelphia. I thought this was a pretty solid haul. It's pretty amazing that PFF suggested this exact trade like the day before it happened on Twitter, but it's a gamble that the Colts had to make. They lose Philip Rivers. Jacoby Brissett is going to be gone in free agency. What do you make of Carson Wentz moving on from Philadelphia? And do you think there is a better than average chance that he figures it out in Indianapolis under his former OC, Frank Reich?
No. Also a fraud.
Carson, okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a shot, I guess. He might be fine. Look, it's a two-year rental for them to figure it out. Indianapolis is not in a position to pick up a better starting quarterback right now. And that's a good team. With that offensive line, with Jonathan Taylor, with the defense they've got, they did need a kind of a plug-and-play starter. I don't know if Carson Wentz is that guy. But moving up in the draft and getting a rookie was not on the table. Phillip Rivers and his 23 kids have marched off into the NFL pasture. And so... I mean, for Indianapolis, I understand the trade. They did not pay a hefty price, but it's really amazing how not just bad, but historically bad Carson Wentz was last year. Some Carson Wentz passes were just, it was one of those, like, have you played football before? Do you know that you're not supposed to do that? What the hell, man? I have a friend of mine who is a Philadelphia Eagles fan, and I texted him the moment that Shefty posted the trade, and he was, on the one hand, incredibly mad that they got so little for him, and I had to explain that, one, Stafford is still good,
yep,
and that basically the picks were a kind of Jared Goff's terrible contract tax, and two, that Wentz is bad. And he agreed with the second part of my argument, being a Philadelphia Eagles fan. But he was still very extremely mad and also happy that Jalen Hurts will probably get a shot. And then I said that, well, I would not be surprised if the Eagles maneuvered to try to get whichever of Wilson or Fields doesn't fall. And then he got mad all over again. So, you know, standard Philadelphia Eagles fan stuff.
I don't think Hurts is going to be the guy. I think people who are just walking in to Jalen Hurts just being the guy and them pouring the resources there, they're going to eat a bunch of dead money. So I don't think it's going to be the Wilsons of the world, because they just don't have the resources or the money to do that. But I do think that there is a strong possibility they use one of their first round picks on a quarterback. I am not convinced that they are all in on Jalen Hurts. And I'm a Jalen Hurts guy.
Jalen Hurts is fun. I like watching Jalen Hurts. He's fun to watch.
But those are two different conversations, right? Is that whether or not we enjoy it and whether or not we'd like to see him get a shot versus what I think Howie Roseman in this front office is going to do. I don't think that's going to be the case.
If they get a quarterback, Jesus Christ, and like, if they get a quarterback in the first round, if I'm Jalen Hurts, I'm flipping over every table in the Philadelphia Eagles facility. Yeah. Almost cussed a few times, but yeah, no.
I want him in New Orleans. No, but like, what, I want Jalen Hurts is New Orleans. Like, that was where I wanted him in the draft, is like, I wanted to see him get to sit with Breeze for a year or two, and then just him get to where
they're trying to make Taysom Hill happen. So
that's not happening. Taysom Hill is not happening. No.
But they're trying to make Taysom Hill happen. That's what they're doing.
It's yeah.
They tried last year where it was like a first-round tender on him when he was a restricted free agent. It's like, what in the world? Who is giving up a first-round pick for Taysom Hill? Like, I actually respect the hustle. I don't like Taysom Hill.
The only thing that I have to say about this trade with Carson Wentz, because it's going to be a three-team race in the AFC South anyway. Remember, Jacksonville is essentially a quarterback away from being somewhat watchable. The only reason I look at that Carson Wentz trade, and, you know, sadly we didn't have a show last week, so I couldn't go on my J.J. Watt. Mm. Yeah, the Texans let J.J. Watt go for basically nothing. Rant when you're in the middle of a rebuild. Good job. Way to go. And everybody's like, well, why would they trade J.J. Watt? He has no trade value. GMs are fucking stupid.
Language.
I know.
We discussed this.
I know. The only reason I say that is I saw Matt Stafford, who is older than J.J. Watt, basically get dealt for two first-round picks.
I think it was one and a Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Really think it was just one first.
Right. And the only reason I say that is if you're telling me that Matt Stafford doesn't have or has somewhat of a trade value and J.J. Watt doesn't, okay, sure.
I think he does.
I think the only reason I say that is if you're going to be in a rebuild mode, and this is why I actually like the Carson Wentz trade transaction-wise, I think Carson Wentz is a guy that maybe this is just a way for him to get his confidence back. Because, I mean, if you're a quarterback in the NFL, and I don't care if you've covered the NFL, if you watch the NFL, you can see a guy playing with confidence. I mean, that just comes with watching sports, covering sports. You know when somebody's playing with confidence. Carson Wentz was not playing with confidence at all last year. And so you put him in Indianapolis, you make the deal, you know, there's picks involved and all that. And so I go back to J.J. Watt, where I'm just like, okay, if you're Houston and you're basically telling the entire world we're in rebuild mode, but we're keeping our quarterback, but you're reminding everybody and your actions are showing we're in rebuild mode. I understand if nobody wanted to give up a pick for J.J. Watt and you want to let him go wherever, but oh boy, does that not look good if you just let him go? It's like, oh, hey, thank you for your service. He wanted out, and you didn't get anything for it when you probably could have got something between a second and a fourth rounder.
Could they? I mean, it kind of feels to me like J.J. Watt wanted to go where he wanted to go, and they were doing him a favor and being like, okay, you can sign with whatever team you want. Because, like, if the choice is between getting – I don't think they could have gotten more than a fifth-round pick for J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt is great, but J.J. Watt has not been healthy in 4 years.
That's fair. That's totally fair. The only reason I say that is if you needed to get picks and you wanted to get some type of draft capital, whether you know you use it to move up or you maneuver your way through some type of trade, you know, whether it's in the draft or free agency or down the road. I just don't like the fact that they basically let him go for nothing.
Letting him go reminded, for save them more against the cap than they would have if they would have traded him. I think that's it. I'm not an NFL cap knower, but I think that's the case. I think the choice was between a mid to late round draft pick or just getting a chunk of dead money on their cap.
That's fair. That's something that I'd agree with. I still say they should have at least attempted, and maybe they did. Maybe they did attempt to move him to a preferred destination, but yeah. There's teams that know what they're doing, and then there's some teams that are just, I don't even know what you're doing. Like, you're just, it's just all vibes.
Bob, you're New York Mets, yeah. Who are favored to win the NL East over Atlanta Braves.
Let's stop sexually harassing women.
Yeah, they should probably stop doing that. What was that this week? The hitting coach? What was that? There was another one that was like...
roving hitting instructor. They, in the midst of getting busted for their general manager being a creep and their former manager being a creep, they also found out that their roving hitting instructor, who took over this year when their hitting coach was declined to participate in the COVID season, was also a creep. And so they quietly let him go. And then someone figured out, hey, why'd you fire this guy? Oh, it's because he's a creep. So, yeah, I would say there was a culture problem with the Mets and may still be. Well, what was your question about the Mets now again?
You signed Tom Walker to a 2-year deal. Like the Mets rotation, like the Mets are, they should be favored over the Braves. The Mets have done more. They have more upside.
I believe Dakota has them at 95 wins.
Yep.
I think. They're going to be good. They're going to be a good team. There's still a couple. I would have liked them to sign Trevor Rosenthal. That would have been nice. I feel like they need a bullpen arm or two. But that's a good team. And if there's not going to be any DH, which it appears like there isn't.
Yeah, I don't like Dom Smith in left field for you guys.
It's fine. I'd rather have Dom. Like, if there was a DH, it would be, you know, and you could move Nimmo over to left and sign, and could have signed Jackie Bradley Jr. That would have been good. But with no DH, there wasn't going to be a ton of at bats for Bradley. So I kind of understand that. It's not a great defensive outfield. On the other hand, if they give more playing time to the guy who I really like, Luis Guillorme, at second and shift McNeil over to third, that could be a very good defensive infield. Like, between McNeil, Lindor, and Guillorme, who could be a Gold Glove second baseman, even though he's shaped like a James Harden, that could be an outstanding defensive infield.
Yeah. Our 32nd.
We're getting good posts on the internet from Marcus Stroman. Lots to be excited about in Metsville. The owner did not lose his shirt in the GameStop fiasco. It's a wild time in this,
man. Oh, man. Andrew, FCS football is back this weekend. Spring football, it's happening. Deion Sanders coaching at Jackson State this spring. How excited are you about the FCS spring season? Can it be better than the XFL from this past spring?
Honestly, if you had told me this a year ago, I'd been like, oh, okay, cool. You know, because around this time, we were starting to understand that, oh, this COVID thing might be an issue for spring stuff. But we're like, oh, we'll get through it. Now we're in a spot where it's like, oh, spring football, along with everything else. I worry about it. I worry about the quality of play. I worry about
Austin because he played like 3 games this fall, and they're playing this spring, and then they're going to play again this fall. Like, what is happening? I don't understand how this schedule is going to work for the spring and the fall. I don't understand this.
And that's the other thing. It's like a 7-layer dip of confusion. But in all seriousness, though, when I look at the FCS, spring schedule, I think we're going to get the same type of just really iffy, up and down, kind of wild play that we saw in the first maybe 4 to 5 weeks, even 4 to 6 weeks in the FBS season. And honestly, I'm not really sure I'm that interested, because you want to know why? You're going to have the NCAA tournament, the NCAA women's tournament. You've got college baseball going on. Like, there's so much going on, and my fear is that the FCS, it's not going to be as pushed as it maybe should be, and it's just going to fall by the wayside, and we're still going to have the same COVID issues. You're still going to have teams being out for, you know, periods of time. I'm just not into it. I'm just not.
Yeah, I agree. Closing your picks of the week this week, guys. Bob, what about you? What have you been reading? What have you been watching? What do you recommend? Bob's gone. Bob did not want to be here for this.
No, I'm here. I'm here. Sorry, I was just taking the
Bob's over our shit.
Football minute. Yep. The college football minute to make some more coffee. What am I reading? Oh, today here's something I read. There is a delightful feature in the Washingtonian where they talked to people who worked at BLT Steak, which is the restaurant in the Trump Hotel that used to be in the old post office. And the servers and the managers and the chef dish all kinds of stories about what it was like to serve the MAGA ruling class over the last 4 years. And it's just filled with all kinds of delightful details and nuggets. I highly recommend that. But I am also going to watch WandaVision tonight when I get done with my work. So I'm excited about that. It's a weird show, but I dig it. It's fun. For those who haven't started, you probably need to watch all 10 Marvel movies first and then have a passing familiarity with the comics. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of have to struggle through the first two or three episodes before it starts getting interesting. But after that, it's a lot of fun. So I highly recommend it.
Andrew, what about you?
All right. So as somebody who is, I would say I'm very versed into the WandaVision spectrum. Yeah, please watch the show.
Hard pass. Out on Marvel. Don't want anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you
going
to watch the freaking Snyder Cut?
No, absolutely not. hold on. Those two are not mutually exclusive. Like, I cannot, just because I'm just out on that does not mean I'm like, let me dip my toes into the Snyderverse. No. It's no on both.
Okay, here's
a couple things about, I just have one other thing to add about WandaVision. One, I am very much enjoying Elizabeth Olsen's performance, but please pick an accent. It's just pick one.
It's a part of the story.
Yeah, but it doesn't really remain consistent about when it stays. It's not great.
It's the subtleties that work.
Okay.
Andrew's all in on this. Andrew loves WandaVision.
It's quite enjoyable. I enjoy it very much. But, I mean, it speaks to the larger problem with the Marvel movies, which is what Marvel has brilliantly done is make products that primarily exist to serve as a lure and an advertising for the next product that's coming. Like, the point of watching WandaVision, as fun as it is mainly to get you hooked into the future X-Men / Fantastic Four iteration of the Marvel Universe, which, as an old-time X-Men comic dork, I will absolutely watch. But they make sure to seed all this little bits of information in WandaVision so you, the wise consumer, can feel smart about knowing, aha, this is something that I need to know for when I watch this other movie that's coming a year or two or three down the line. Of course, it creates this kind of watching an advertisement for something that doesn't exist and knowing that you are being sold and being congratulated for being aware that you are being marketed to is a strange kind of fan service. And it's congratulating you for being a smart consumer of something that you haven't bought yet. And as late capitalism, I applaud the hell out of it. But it's also kind of disaffecting, where you're not able to actually just enjoy the thing for what it is without, again, it's true. Like, no one can watch Endgame and Infinity War without having watched the 8 movies that came before it. It's just not possible. You would be completely lost. And the reason people like lost their minds, I think, during the actual screening was that the entire point was to reward all the people who had watched those 8 movies. It was 3 hours long because of the Easter eggs, to be honest. I think it's not like you can critique that in all kinds of ways, like I just did, but it also works. If you do, buy a ticket and take the ride, you're going to go all the way. Like, I do need to know what happens in WandaVision, because I do know that I will be watching that X-Men movie that comes out 3 or 4 years from now.
Go ahead, Bob. Sorry.
So in that way, it can feel a little alienating, I think is the best way to put it. I mean, it's one of those things where they want you to know you are being marketed to and want you to make you feel like, oh, my awareness of the fact that I am watching a commercial more than an actual product makes me smart, when in fact it just makes me a mark. So I'm conflicted. But that being said, I'm still going to watch tonight. So, who's the sucker now?
Right. Well, and the thing that, unlike DC, when they tried to essentially do the same thing, Marvel basically kind of left bread. Like, people want this in entertainment now, and with all of these quote-unquote cinematic universes, because it seems like everybody has a freaking cinematic universe now, Marvel does it to where you leave enough breadcrumbs in some movies, and then, you're getting a porterhouse steak in the next film. And then, hey, this film might be a Happy Meal, but oh boy, do you need to kind of remember what's going on? I think with DC, it was just like, hey, here's three-course meal after three-course meal after three-course meal, and in that three-course meal, I'm getting Aquaman. Thanks.
Oh, dude, Aquaman ruled.
That movie did.
Ludicrous.
Ludicrous
and stupid, and that's why I love that. Aquaman is by far the best DC movie that they've ever made, because it's so stupid.
And it, honestly, with Aquaman, it worked, because it was just like, you know what you're getting with it, and it still works. But like, what you watch Wonder Woman 1984. And you're like,
I turned it off after 10 minutes. That was so dumb.
It was, yeah. Like, I mean, I got maybe 30 minutes in, and I was just like, okay, I'll watch it tomorrow. By the way, still haven't finished it.
No one needs to watch it. It's insanely bad.
It just doesn't, it's a terrible, well, basically what I'm saying is DC is trying to basically give you the same type of breadcrumbs, but instead of just breadcrumbs, they want to give you this porterhouse steak every single time. And I'm like, guys, you can't sit here and try and hit grand slams when you're struggling to, you're struggling to hit doubles. Like, why are you doing this? So yeah, when the Snyder Cut comes out, am I going to watch it? Probably yes. Am I going to actually finish it? Probably no.
Speaking of accents, my favorite thing about the DC universe is that because Gail Gadot cannot act, they made everyone on her mystical island speak with an Israeli accent.
It was so bad. and this is nothing against her. This is nothing against her, but just because you were talking about the accent with Olsen. That there's actually some, because she's conflicted, in terms of
I get why they're doing it and how they're trying to do it. I'm saying they didn't really pull it off.
Right. No, I agree with you on that in terms of like the reasoning behind it. But yeah, with Wonder Woman, it's just kind of like,
no, she can't ditch the. Look, she's an IDF soldier, so she dies. She can't ditch the Israeli accent. So everyone on the island planet is actually Jewish.
Well, who knew? Yeah. Well, and I'm just, it's,
It feels like they just tried to jump into everything with both Wonder Woman movies. I mean, you kind of got a nice sense of, you know, a build in the first one. But yeah, it's just way too much. And it's the stop and go. And we really don't know how to progress characters. If there's one thing that Marvel kicks DC's ass in, I know language, it is, oh, we know how to actually progress the storyline of a character.
Yep. Look at what they did with Loki, who is, you know, in the comics for the bulk of his history is a fairly rote Superman villain. By the end, if you really keep up with it, he like runs for president and there's some cool stuff there. But like Loki is not, but I'm going to watch the Loki standalone. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be a good, from what I've been hearing, like what they're essentially going to have him, because I want to say there's five phases of Marvel right now.
Yeah, I think this is phase four. I don't know. They're setting up the multiple dimensions and timeline. They're setting up like multiple realities. It was hinted at in Spider-Man Far From Home, which I still haven't actually seen. It's being hammered home. Like, they're giving Scarlet Witch the powers, spoiler alert, the powers that she had in the comic books to warp reality in order to introduce this, which is why you get, again, spoiler alert, you get the Quicksilver from the Sony X-Men movies coming in, so you get the idea of these multiple realities. We'll get it in the next Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire and what's his name? The guy who founded Facebook.
Andrew Garfield.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting. Marvel, everyone! In any case, Chase is getting a big hook to pull us all off stage, so I think it's wrap-up time.
All right. For that guy up there in the Northeast, Bob Silverman of the Daily Beast, for that guy temporarily in the Northwest, Andrew Hammond, thank you as always.
There's an Easter egg for you, Andrew Chase Thomas podcast fan. Sorry.
That's how we're ending this podcast. That's the last thing listening to me here, Bob.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas podcast. Hell yeah.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.